ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 हरे कृष्णा। Today we are reading from Canto 5, Chapter 18, entitled The Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudvipa. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Before that, we will read the chapter summary. In this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami describes the different varshas of Jambudvipa and the incarnation of the Supreme Lord worshipped in each. The predominating ruler of Bhadrasavarsha is Bhadrasava, and he and his many servants always worship the incarnation known as Lord Bhairava. At the end of each kalpa, when the demon Ajnana steals the Vedic knowledge, Lord Bhairava appears and preserves it. Then he delivers it to Lord Brahma. In the land known as Harivarsha, the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj worships Lord Narasimhadev. The appearance of Lord Narasimhadev is described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, the inhabitants of Harivarsha always worship Lord Narasimhadev to receive from him the benediction of being engaged in his loving service. In the tract of land known as Ketamala Varsha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Lord Hrishikesha appears in the form of Cupid, the goddess of fortune, and the demigods living there engaged in his service day and night. Manifesting himself in 16 parts, Lord Hrishikesha is a source of all encouragement, strength and influence. The conditioned living entity has the defect of being always fearful, but simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can rid himself of this defect of material life. Therefore, the Lord alone can be addressed as Master. In the tract of land known as Ramyaka Varsha, Manu and all the inhabitants worship Matsyadev to this very day. Matsyadev, whose form is pure goodness, is the ruler and maintainer of the whole universe, and as such, he is the director of all the demigods held by King Indra. In Hiranmaya Varsha, Lord Vishnu has assumed the form of a tortoise, Purnamurti, and is worshipped by Aryama along with all other residents. Similarly, in the tract of land known as Uttarakuru Varsha, Lord Sri Hari has assumed the form of a boar, and in that form he accepts service from all the inhabitants living there. All the information in this chapter can be fully realized by one who associates with the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, in the Shastra, it is recommended that one associate with devotees This is better than residing on the bank of the Ganges. In the hearts of pure devotees reside all good sentiments as well as all the superior qualities of the demigods. In the hearts of non-devotees, however, there cannot be any good qualities, for such people are simply enchanted by the external illusory energy of the Lord. Following the footsteps of devotees, one should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only worshipable deity. Everyone should accept this proposal and worship the Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedeshta Sarvar Ahameva Vedyaha. The purpose of studying all Vedic literature is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. If after studying all the Vedic literature, one does not awaken his dormant love for the Supreme Lord, it is to be understood that he has labored for nothing. He has simply wasted his time. Lacking attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remains attached to family life in this material world. Thus, the lesson of this chapter is that one should get out of family life and completely take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Verse 1. I'll read few words or phrases together. You can repeat because it is prose, it's not poem. Verse 1. Shri Shuka Vacha.
Shri Shuka Vacha.
Tathacha Bhadra Shrava.
Tathacha Bhadra Shrava.
Nama Dharma Sutta.
Nama Dharma Sutta.
Tatkula Pathaya Purusha.
Tatkula Pathaya Purusha.
Bhadra Shavashe Sakshat.
Bhadra Shavashe Sakshat.
Bhagavato Vasudevasya.
Bhagavato Vasudevasya.
Priyam Tanum.
Priyam Tanum.
Dharmamayim.
Dharmamayim.
Hayashisha Vidhananam.
Hayashisha Vidhananam.
Paramena.
Paramena.
Samadhina.
Samadhina.
Sannidha Pedyam.
Sannidha Pedyam.
Abhigrananta.
Abhigrananta.
Ubhadavanti.
Ubhadavanti.
Word to a translation. Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shukadev Goswami said.
Shukadev Goswami said.
Tathacha.
Tathacha.
Similarly.
Similarly.
Just as Lord worships Sankarshan in Ilavrata Varsha.
Just as Lord Shiva worships Sankarshan in Ilavrata
Varsha. Bhadrashrava.
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 Nama.
Nama.
Known as.
Known as.
Dharmasutaha.
Dharmasutaha.
The son of Dharma Raj.
The son of Dharma Raj.
Tat.
Tat.
Of him.
Of him.
Kulapatayaha.
Kulapatayaha.
The chiefs of the dynasty.
The chief of the dynasty.
Purushaha.
Purushaha.
All the residents.
All the residents.
Bhadrasya Varshe.
Bhadrasya Varshe.
In the land known as Bhadrasya Varsha.
In the land known as Bhadrasya Varsha.
Sakshat.
Sakshat.
Directly.
Directly.
Bhagavataha.
Bhagavataha.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vasudevasya.
Vasudevasya.
Of Lord Vasudev.
Of Lord Vasudev.
Priyam Tanum.
Priyam Tanum.
Very dear form.
Very dear form.
Dharmamayim.
Dharmamayim.
The directors of all religious principles.
The director of all religious principles.
Hayashirsha Abhidhanam.
Hayashirsha Abhidhanam.
The Lord's incarnation named Hayashirsha.
The Lord's incarnation named Hayashirsha.
Also called Hayagriva.
Also called Hayagriva.
Paramena Samadhina.
Paramena Samadhina.
With the highest form of trance.
With the highest form of trance.
Sannidhapya.
Sannidhapya.
Coming near.
Coming near.
Idam.
Idam.
This.
This.
Abhigrananda.
Abhigrananda.
Chanting.
Chanting.
Ubhadhavanti.
Ubhadhavanti.
They worship.
They worship.
Sri Shivadur Goswami said, Bhadrashrava, the son of Dharmaraj, rules a tract of land known as Bhadrasya Varsha. Just as Lord Shiva worships Sankarsana in Ilavrata Varsha, Bhadrasava, accompanied by his intimate servants and all the residents of the land, worship the plenary expansion of Vasudev known as Harishisha. Lord Harishisha is very dear to the devotees and he is the director of all religious principles. Fixed in his topmost trance, Bhadrasava and his associates offer their respectful obeisances to the Lord and chant the following prayers with careful pronunciation. Verse 2. Bhadrasravasa Ujhu. Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmayatma Vishodhanaya Nama Iti. The ruler Bhadrasrava and his intimate associates utter the following prayer. We offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all religious principles, who cleanses the heart of the conditioned soul in this material world. Again and again, we offer our respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by His Divine Grace S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Foolish materialistic persons do not know how they are being controlled and punished at every step by the laws of nature. They think they are very happy in the conditioned state of material life, not knowing the purpose of repeated birth, death, old age and disease. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Lord Krishna describes such materialistic persons as Moodhas, rascals. Namam Dushkritino Moodha Prabhadyante Naradhamaha. These Moodhas do not know that if they want to purify themselves, they must worship Lord Vasudev or Krishna by performing penances and austerities. This purification is the aim of human life. This life is not meant for blind indulgence in sense gratification. In the human form, the living being must engage himself in Krishna consciousness to purify his existence. Tapo divyam putrakayena saptam shuddhye. This is the instruction of King Rishabhdev to his sons. In the human form of life, one must undergo all kind of austerities to purify his existence. Yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. We are all seeking happiness, but because of our ignorance and foolishness, we cannot know what unobstructed happiness really is. Unobstructed happiness is called brahma saukhya, spiritual happiness. Although we may get some so-called happiness in this material world, that happiness is temporary. The foolish materialist cannot understand this. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj points out, Maya sukhaya bharam uddhato vimudhan. Merely for temporary materialistic happiness, these rascals are making huge arrangements, and thus they are baffled life after life. Very amazing, strong couple.
Om Jnana Timirathasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadhir Yema Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soren Krishishtha Bhagavan Vachamsime
Hare Krishna. It's very auspicious. We are starting a very important chapter in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam because this chapter is presenting very wonderful prayers by elevated pure devotees. In that way, we are getting an opportunity to associate with such exalted devotees who are in the Bhumandala. In other words, they are in the middle planetary systems, which are not really exposed often to us conditioned beings. Here we are in the Bhumandala and we are in the southernmost Varsha or the tract of land which is known as Bharata Varsha, and there are other Varshas as well. And here, as we heard in the chapter summary, different devotees in these different Varshas are praying different prayers to the Supreme Lord, the respective worshipable deities. So here, the prayer is offered by Bhadrashravasa, and he is worshipping Lord Hayagriva. And here is this wonderful prayer: Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmaya Atma Vishodhanaya. It's a very nice prayer. So we have heard this prayer, we always chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Here, the Lord is addressed as Dharmaya and Atma Vishodhanaya, one who can purify our own consciousness, our own heart. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully presents the nature of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam makes everything very clear. So Bhagavatam is for two kinds of people. Certainly, it is Paramahamsa Samhita. It is for the most elevated devotees. And such Paramahamsas are speaking here, Sukadeva Goswami, and as we read here, Bhadrashravasa. They are certainly Paramahamsa devotees or swan-like devotees, perfect devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam is for Paramahamsa devotees, perfect devotees. And it also has another audience which is very relevant for all of us. And that audience is Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Yam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Guru Munina. We can read in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself. Right? So who this Bhagavatam is meant for? Samsarinam. For those who are afflicted by material desires, who are going on in the path of samsara, repeated birth and death, and those who have lot of material desires like us. So this is for us. We may have a lot of material desires, but here Bhagavatam is presenting the solution. And in this particular prayer, it is a specific prayer to purify our own hearts. Because prayer is to Lord Hayagriva, and he is Atma Vishodhanaya. He is going to purify our hearts, which is very essential. Before getting into that prayer, we'll try to understand what Srila Prabhupada is speaking in this purport. The opening sentence is very powerful and it definitely worth our serious attention, because that can save ourselves from a lot of troubles. Prabhupada writes, "Foolish materialistic persons do not know how they are being controlled and punished at every step by the laws of nature." It takes a bit of deep thought to understand and to carry this thought that we are being controlled. We may think ourselves very free, we can do whatever we want, I have complete control over my life, but the reality is something else. If we open ourselves and look into material life, we can see that we are being controlled. There is financial control, right? There are authorities who determine who is going to earn how much. We think everything is natural, organic. No, it's been determined. Which class of people are going to earn how much? It's been determined. And has it got any implication? Certainly we have implication, because people have to work for it. So our life has to be spent accordingly. We can buy a house which is owned by the bank, right? It's mortgage, it's owned by the bank. We think it is our house. And we are working under the directions of the bank. There are terms and conditions. And accordingly we are forced to work. Accordingly we are forced to spend our valuable time. Okay, this is external, we can see. Think about our own material desires. We are being captured and encaged by our own material desires. And those desires force us to work hard. We are being controlled. We think we are not, we are in control, but our desires are controlling us, if you see internally. Our body is being controlled. Is our body in our control? Not really. It has its own demands. And we have to work for our own body. And we don't have much of a choice. And if we go based on yogic knowledge, Bhagavatam knowledge, even our happiness is being controlled according to our karma. Everyone is looking for happiness. Even that is being controlled according to karma. According to the karmic reaction, we are entitled for a certain amount of happiness and distress. And those happiness and distress, we cannot change. So we are controlled in all different directions. And karma caps everything, including our bank balance, our facilities, our relations. Everything is capped by karma. However, Prabhupada writes, foolish materialistic people cannot see that. Now, we have come to Krishna consciousness, so it is a great opportunity to see that we are not in full control. Still, we think we are in some control. But at least understand we are not in full control, and that will really help us. We will go further in this topic. Here, Prabhupada writes, what is the purpose of human form of life? Generally, it's a time to enjoy in all different ways. That is considered the ultimate purpose of human form of life. Still, we see that there is not much happiness that one can derive. It's always a mixture. Even though one wants pure happiness, that is not in our control. Here Srila Prabhupada quotes Rishabdev, right? Naham deho deha bhajan loke kashtan kaman arhade vidbhujane tapo divyam putrakayana sattum shuddhye yasmat dhamma saukhyam tu anantam. This purport, actually spend some time on this verse. This verse is so important, where a contrast is given between the human life and animal life. Rishabdev, to his sons, made this very important point that, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification. So please take in this point. So humans should not work day and night simply for sense gratification. And next part is very important. Which is available even for dogs and for hawks that eats too. So graphic. People can, you know, such an animalistic existence with bhujanye. They're eating a stool. Even for them, sense gratification is freely available. They don't need to go to school, right? First kinder, then maybe 10 or 12 years of education, then maybe uni, then get a job after a lot of struggle, and then work from morning till evening, at least 5 days a week, and then engage in some sense gratification for the basic needs. To pay off a house, to get some clothes, to engage in other sense gratification, one has to go through such endeavors. It is mentioned they have studied the functions of different species of life on Earth planet, and they found that if one species is extinct, nothing is going to happen to this planet Earth. You know which species is that, right? That is a human species. Nothing is going to happen. And there are documentaries. What would happen to Earth if such an extinction take place? And they show how the forest are going to grow further, how cities are going to be captured by the animals and by the plants, and you know, earth is going to be green, all these environmental problems are going to get solved. So they are showing the whole thing, just like during the lockdown, you could see the wild animals are coming out in the street in some countries, and there were some Facebook posts showing, you know, how the earth is changing. So by the extinction of human species, nothing is going to happen in this world. However, in the food cycle, the chain, the food chain, other species play a very important role, but not human beings. Because human beings are simply exploiting the whole system. So that is not the purpose of human life. And that in itself shows that humans have higher purpose than being part of the food chain. It shows. We are not part of the food chain actually. So we have a higher purpose. And here, Rishabhdev in the same canto mentions. And what is that? He mentioned, Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam siddhyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. We are so fortunate. We have this divine position of devotional service. We can perform devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. That is the essence of the prayer that we read. By such activity, one's heart is purified. And when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. Here the entire solution is given. Brahma Saukhyam to Ananta. However, the science has made so much of progress, but science cannot answer many questions. But two important questions science cannot answer. One, what is consciousness? Second, what is the purpose of life? Very critical points. One, what is consciousness? Because we know that we are conscious and we can experience consciousness. But what is consciousness is unanswered according to the science. Second, what is the purpose of life? We can explain everything in life, probably can't, but even if we try to explain everything in life, but there is no answer, what is it all meant for? Isn't it a big gap? Isn't it a big problem? What is the purpose? Because purpose defines the path. Purpose defines what is right and wrong. Purpose defines what is good and bad. So if there is no purpose, there is no standpoint for anything. Of course, in the material world, there is purpose. What is that purpose? Try to enjoy the senses. That's all. But when one sees this, still one can see that there is no real happiness. And in this purport, there is a quotation from Prahlad Maharaj, who is just 5 years old, and he presents such profound wisdom, as we can read from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He gives a very wonderful analysis of happiness of this material world. Even though 5 years old, he speaks with such realization and conviction about the happiness of this world. So he is the best person to hear from, to know about happiness. He asks in the 9th chapter of the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 25th verse, he asked, Kutashisha Shruti Sukha Mrgatrishni Rupaha. He asked, Kutrashisha, where is this happiness? This is the question of 5-year-old boy. Kutrashisha, where is the happiness? What kind of happiness? We have heard this, Shruti Sukha. We have heard it is very real happiness. But where is that happiness in this material world? Mrgatrishni Rupaha. What is Mrgatrishni Rupa? He gives a classic example of a deer who is running, thirsty for water. And he sees in the desert. He goes to the desert and sees that, okay, there is water in the distance. It is nothing but the mirage. You can, while driving in the highway, you can see the mirage, right? You can see water kind of reflection. Far away, especially with the hot sun, far away on the highway you can see. So we can see the mirage, but there is no water. But the deer is thinking, okay, there is a water. And he chases for the mirage. He runs again and again, but he finds nothing but He get tired and even more thirsty. And at the end, if the deer chases for water further, the deer will drop dead. So this is the material existence. So it is mentioned, where is the happiness in this material world? So according to the spiritual standpoint, both material happiness and distress are both miseries. Both material happiness and distress, both are miseries when we compare it to spiritual happiness. They are simply agitations of the mind, both happiness and distress. Both are not considered the real happiness. Why? The real happiness is sustainable. Here mentioned, there is no bound to it. It is sustainable, it is boundless. That is real happiness, eternal happiness. And compared to that, both material happiness and distress are just mirage. And there is no existence. And so it is considered as just misery. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of going to a salt mine. He says, if you go to a salt mine and if you make a square block out of the salt, or if you make a doll out of the salt, or if you make a ball out of the salt, at the end of the day, everything is salt. In the same way, he mentions that in the material world, you can try to derive material happiness of various degrees or miseries. At the end of the day, it's all material. They are intangible because temporary. So Prabhupada makes his point. Don't worry too much about material happiness or distress. So this is one of the basic instructions of Bhagavad Gita right in the beginning, in the second chapter itself. Shitoshna samadukhada. Perform our devotional service and tolerate whether it is Shita or Ushna, whether it's winter or summer, or happiness or distress. Just tolerate and continue in the spiritual path. That is the nature of this world. There will be some happiness and distress, and we can't do much about it. So transcend material happiness and distress. So that's why he's saying, Kutra Shisha Shuti Sukha Mrigatrishni Rupaha. What's the point? And Prabhupada, in that purport, makes a very interesting point. There were many politicians who planned empires, supremacy and control of the world. But in due time, all their plans and empires and even the politicians themselves were vanquished. Prabhupada makes it very straight and clear. Exactly coming to the same purport, the same point that is mentioned in this purport. So, what's the point? In Bhagavad Gita, we can read in the 339. What is the enemy of the living entity? Lust. Uncontrolled desire to enjoy. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajoguna samudbhava, mahashino mahapatma, vidheham ena vairuna. That is the enemy. We can experience that. So as a devotee, we can experience when material desires come to our heart, we have to be at vigil. We have to be very careful. We have to protect ourselves from material desires. Lust. We have to protect ourselves. That is our responsibility. That is our duty. And they do come uninvited, as Raghunadas Goswami mentions. The highway robbers, the six robbers, the enemies of the mind. Kama, Krodha, the lust, anger, greed, etc. They come on the way uninvited. For a devotee who is practicing, uninvited, these kind of desires will pop into our mind with strength, trying to attack us with fierce force. So a devotee has to be very careful. We need to have a plan. How are we going to deal with that? I remember I was a very new devotee. Still I'm new, but I was very new then. I went to meet Burijan Prabhu. So it was my first personal darshan with Burijan Prabhu, and I was very much excited. He was very kind to give me darshan. I went to him and he asked about my life, how I came to Krishna consciousness, and very interesting. A couple of very interesting things happened. One was very interesting because he asked me, he showed his altar and showed, what do you like in this altar? So there were saligrams, there were Giriraj, there was the Patitan Pavan, Jagannath, and I was looking, I couldn't understand anything. I couldn't know who is this Lord, I couldn't understand much. So I saw Krishna playing on the flute, okay, on the bank of Yamuna, you know, the famous picture. I said, Prabhu, I like that. He looked at me and he said, oh, if you like him, your life is finished. He's going to take everything from you. I said, okay, what does that mean? I didn't understand what does that mean. Then we had a chat, how you're chanting, etc., etc. Then he asked me, what are you going to do when lust attacks you? I was blank. I was like, oh, what is that? You know? Probably I was full of lust, so I couldn't distinguish what's really going on. So I said, I don't know. Then he was telling how we have to take shelter of the Lord when we are being attacked by lust. And it can happen any time. Then we have to pray to the Supreme Lord, please help me to get rid of this lust. I need your help. Without that, we cannot deal with that. We cannot wrestle with our mind. Mind is more powerful than us. But if Krishna is there, then Krishna will take care of that. We can loudly chant Hare Krishna. If not externally, we can do it internally. We can call Lord Nityananda's name very loudly. My spiritual master was mentioning this point, that you chant the name of Lord Nityananda aloud in your heart if we are being attacked by lust. It's a very good instruction. So we need our techniques how to deal with lust. The important point is we have to deal with lust and material desires in a sporting spirit. Sporting spirit means we don't give up. Okay? You're going to hit a goal? We're going to lose? No, we're going to give up. We're going to hit hard. We're going to do something extra for our devotional service. So never give up. It is very important. Lust is going to attack, but we shouldn't give up. Rather, we should fight back. It is very, very important. In material world, certainly the happiness and distress come and go, and we have to be prepared for that. And many times when one is carried away by happiness, one drops down to great distress. I was watching this video, it was a very, very interesting video, where a few clips were there, probably a World Cup soccer match. The goalkeeper has saved one goal, and somehow he has pushed the soccer ball away, and it's just showing, you know, he's showing his power, his prowess, you know, I've done it. And meanwhile, the ball actually spins and get back to the goalpost. This is material life. I think, this is really material life, you know. We think, okay, we are successful, we have done it. Then something goes wrong. Another one was the cyclist in an Olympic match or something. The cyclist is going very fast and he's just into it and he's almost there and he took the leap and he's very forward compared to other people. And the finishing line he can see and he's just cheering himself, you know, both hands up in the air. And suddenly he fell down from the bicycle. And he was in such a shock that he was struggling to get on back to the bicycle. And meanwhile, the next person went ahead. This is material life. Please understand, don't expect success in the material life. Don't be illusioned that we can be the one. Even if you think we make it for a few moments of life, someone else is going to overtake. Otherwise, our own destiny is going to hit back. We are going to drop down. We have to be very, very careful dealing with material success. It is not going to last. So Bhagavatam is opening our eyes and showing that, look, in the material world, both happiness and distress are ultimately distress because we are missing out on real happiness. It is chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, worshipping the deities, sharing Krishna consciousness. It is so wonderful. It is so rewarding. We had a nice chanting. It was so good. Kirtan was so good. It is so fulfilling. And we don't need anything for that. Just the association of the devotees. That's all. So this is one point. That is the nature of material happiness and distress is just miserable. And we cannot do anything about it because that's how it is being created. And the second point is, even the endeavor to get happiness is actually miserable. That we know already, that we don't get anything to enjoy in this world free of cost. There is always hard work. And even if there are some miseries, and if you want to counteract those miseries, Bhagavatam says that in itself is a problem. Prahlad Maharaj, again I am referring to Prahlad Maharaj. It's such a wonderful verse, isn't it? It's a very wonderful verse. He says, you know, Dukhaushadam tadabhi dukham adadhyaham. Dukhaushadam tadabhi dukham. If you think, if we find a solution for a problem, that is even a bigger problem. That is this material world. The Bhagavatam is really opening up our eyes. Dukhaushadam tadabhi dukham adadhyaham bhuman bhramami vadame tava dasya yogam. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling Narasimhadev Bhagavan, look, give me your dasya, give me your servitorship, give me service unto your lotus feet. That is the real wealth. Otherwise, it is dukkhaushadam is again a bigger problem. The solution to a problem is a bigger problem. We can see material solutions, how the problem, the solution in itself is a bigger problem. Anything you can take. Is there any problem without any side effects? Not really. We can see again and again this point. Some people want to quit smoking. What do they do? Instead of usual smoking, they get the other one. What is that? The electronic one.
Vaporizer.
Yeah, vaporizer. Then what happens? There is an addiction with that. There are problems related to that. That's another problem. Yesterday we were speaking, you know, we were having a chat, we were telling, because those who use drugs, some countries they provide free syringe because they don't share the syringe. So that is not solving the problem, it is increasing the problem. We have vaccines. Yes, it is solving, maybe solving some problem, but it has some other problems. Medicines, we know it's a common thing, medicines. There is one solution for something, but it's creating some other problems. And then there is medicine to cure that problem. So it's an endless cycle. So that's why the solution to material problems in itself is a bigger problem. So that's why dukkhaushadam tadabhi dukham. That is a bigger problem. And then Prahlad Maharaj says, don't just get into these kind of problems and solutions, but transcend these problems by taking up to spirituality. Because then you don't need to deal on the material plane, rather you can go higher. Prabhupada says, interesting statement, you can be a millionaire or you can be a poor man. Still he asks, how many chapatis can you eat? It's a very important point, very important point to think. How many chapatis or bread can you eat, whether you are rich or poor? It's a very, very profound question if you think about it. So, there is not much point endeavoring just to be happy in this material world. Rather, try to give happiness to Krishna. That is a better solution, because in turn, we are going to be happier. Prahlad Maharaj further explains, when does this misery start? We have entered, we have already mentioned that both happiness and miseries are both misery. And given that, when does it start? In the 7th chapter, he mentioned very, very interesting verse. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore, he acts accordingly. So that is the formula of material existence. Increase the happiness and decrease the misery. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. Actually, the Sanskrit is very interesting. Sukhaya dukham okshaya sankalpa hi karminaha sada apno dhiya dukham anihaya sukha vritam. So he says that actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. And I'll read one point from the purport. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition. But actually, from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. This is material existence. The time we are making plans, we are actually implanting the seed of distress. And as we move forward in cultivating those plans and acting upon that plan, the distress seed is sprouting, growing, and becoming a big tree of distress. So the solution is, don't get into material plan making. It doesn't mean that we need some plan to our sustenance. We don't say that you don't study, work. No, that's not the idea. We need to do all these kind of things. But understanding that is not the aim of life. Rather, that is supportive of our Krishna consciousness. If we have that in our consciousness, and if we have our time and priority for our Krishna conscious activities, then such kind of endeavors are justified. So we are not plainly saying, okay, don't work or study. That is another misapplication of this knowledge. Rather, we understand with intelligence that, look, material happiness doesn't exist, so we shouldn't really worry about it so much. Rather, endeavor for Krishna. Prahlada Maharaj concludes this kind of prayers. You know, that's what is quoted in this verse. Maya sukhaya bharamuddhato vimudhan. He's saying, you know, I'm not really worried about myself. Tadvirya gayana mahamrda magna jittaha. I am completely in ecstatic condition. Why? Because I am always glorifying you. Mahamrta. I am in great ecstasy. I am relishing great nectar, glorifying you. But I am only concerned about this materialistic people who are trying to work hard to enjoy this material world. This is a 5-year-old boy is telling this. Mm-hmm. Think about that. How old are you? 12. Okay. So think about 5-year-old boy. So small. He is telling, don't endeavor for material happiness. And we have gone past, people are gone 50, 60, 70, and about to die. Still, people are thinking, you know, how can I enjoy? Prabhupada was walking and he saw this bowling clubs. You know, what do you call it, the pink bowling? Or bowling clubs, you know. There, all the old people are sitting and, you know, they are all throwing, you know, they are all playing. Seeing that Prabhupada said, you know, people are, you know, even in the old age, they don't know what to do in life. Even in the old age, they're going to die. Then what are they doing? Just throwing the balls. Just like kids. You know, just like the Shankaracharya statement, Bhajagovinda, Balastavat Krida Sakta, Tarunastavat Taruni Sakta, Ruddhastavat Chinta Sakta, Parame Brahmani Kopina Lagnaha. That is, when one is a kid, one's all attention and engrossment is in playing. And when one is grown up, then after the opposite sex. And old age, just worried about the past and what's going to happen in the future. And one is not interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Paramahamsa. Nobody is interested. That's what he's telling. So here we can see the message of Prahlada Maharaj. And moving to this purport, this verse is all about purification of the heart. Because the verse, the prayer is Om Namo Bhagavate Dharmaya Atma Vishodhanaya. The Supreme Lord who can purify our heart. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse of Rishabhdev. And this verse we have to see very carefully. The reason is the purification of the heart and spiritual happiness go hand in hand. We cannot separate one from the other. Initially we may think, I need sense gratification and spiritual happiness. They go ill together. It doesn't work like that. So the point is, if you want Brahma Saukhyam, eternal spiritual happiness, then we need to purify the heart. That's why Shrinutam Sakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridendo Stohi Abhadrani Vidhinoti Suhursatam. The Supreme Lord, who is situated in the heart, who is the well-wisher of the living entities, will purify the heart. How? If we are hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that is the process. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Bhagavad Gita. By that process, the Lord will purify our heart. We cannot purify our heart ourselves. We endeavor to do that, but by the mercy of the Lord, the heart will get purified. So this is the process, and it is very, very important. And because of that, it is possible to have Brahma Saukhyam to Ananda, eternal spiritual happiness. And as devotees, we need to understand that the process of purification is simultaneously painful and blissful. So the controlling the senses and not acting on our material desires is painful. If you try to do that, you can feel that pain. I have felt that pain. If the material desires come, pushes me, and then I don't act on that, I feel, you know, uncomfortable. Is it right? Do this, demands of the mind. If I don't do that, it's uncomfortable. So that is the pain of purification. However, if we don't engage in sense gratification, and if we call upon Krishna, then what happens? Instantly we can experience the reciprocation of Krishna. So that is the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So even if we are being tortured by material desires, if we decide, look, I will not act on it, rather I will call upon Krishna, and if we continue that, instantly we feel happiness. We have a great opportunity to do that while chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, 2 hours, 16 rounds. When we are chanting, the mind can go here and there, mind can bring in so many demands, and if we neglect that and if we chant Krishna's name, immediately we can feel the relief and happiness. Last Sunday I was hearing this workshop by attending the workshop by Mahatma Prabhu about the holy names. It was very wonderful. And one interesting instruction was, first unplug yourself before chanting. Unplug from everything else. Don't worry about what's your job, what you have to do next, where you are sitting. Don't worry about any of these kind of things. Just focus on chanting. So he says, one japa affirmation is, when I am chanting, I am chanting. When I am chanting, I am chanting, not doing anything else. It's very important, it's very helpful. That's very, very practical, I felt. And when you disconnect from the external things and you focus on chanting, then we do feel reciprocation from Krishna. And then we can make real progress in bhakti. So that is the purification. Thus the purification is very tangible, very practical, and we need a supportive lifestyle for that. A devotee lifestyle has to be supportive to chant Krishna's names, to do devotional service. In that way we can make progress. And we can attain, as it is mentioned here, the purification of the heart. Here, Bhadrashrava is praying to the Supreme Lord for that purification. So we can also pray to the Supreme Lord for that purification. Then we can go beyond this material existence. We can experience something which is far beyond material happiness and distress. And that doesn't remain as a theory, but it becomes our practical realization. So I stop here. See if there are any questions or comments. Yes, madam. Is there a microphone? Thanks.
Just for the confirmation that we have higher shifts on the altar.
Yeah, we have Hayagriva, Hayashishra on the altar, yes. We have him on the of all the asanas, our right side, bottom. There are two Ananta, Ananda Devs, and in between there is Hayagriva. So we have Hayagriva. Lord Hayagriva is very special. He can give knowledge. Of course, Krishna can give everything, but I'm saying he is the Lord of Vedic knowledge. That's why he rescued Vedas and gave to Lord Brahmaji. So Hayagriva is very special. And Lord Hayagriva Saligram Shila was the worshipable Lord or the Pradhanamurti of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya, he wanted to establish Vedic knowledge with the right meaning. So he worshipped Hayagriva for that purpose as well. Yes, that's right. Any other question? Yeah, here we go. You always have questions.
Thank you, Guru, for the wonderful class.
Thank you.
You were saying that we should not endeavor in the material world for bad things and stuff. So then why do we study and do stuff? That's just for endeavor for success.
Okay. That's a good question. Your mother is here? No? Okay, good. So, good that you asked this question. Yes, that's why I mentioned. We need to sustain, we need to live in this world. Is it right? You need to read Bhagavatam. Yes? You need to read Bhagavad Gita. So for that, you need to know how to read and write, isn't it? So you had to go to school. Yes or no? Otherwise, how are you going to learn anything? And if you want to live in this world, you need to know what's happening in this world, right? Which country you're living, what's the capital, what's the English language, you need to know how to read and write, to communicate, etc., etc. You need to know some mathematics, otherwise how are you going to count? Right? So you need basic knowledge to live in this world. But the difference is, we don't think that just studying hard, being successful, getting a good job, earning money is the purpose of life. Rather, these things are required to support our Krishna consciousness. What does that mean? Our main aim is to chant Krishna's name, do devotional service, come to the temple, do service, etc. That is our main aim. And for that, whatever is supportive, we accept. We don't think that, okay, I had to be the best in everything, materially. We try our best and then leave it up to Krishna. If Krishna makes you first in the class, so be it. Very good. If not, that's okay. But you study. Understanding that that is going to be useful for your Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Or is it difficult to understand? Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions?
Do you have any information about that past? We don't know much about Hayavri also. The past time of the demon at the end of Kalpa, do you have any information?
Yes, we have read in Bhagavatam. Do you remember the name of the asura? That is pretty much the beginning of Brahma's day, isn't it? Madhu Kaitava, Maitha Kaitava, yes, Madhu and Kaitava, that's right, Madhu and Kaitava. They stole and the Lord killed and rescued the Vedas. So basically they said, Vedas were not there that time, who were there, they couldn't remember any Vedic mantras. It was not the book was lost. It's not the Vedic book, it was there in the book. He was so expert that he could actually take away the memory of even Lord Brahmaji. The Vedic knowledge was gone. That was the power of this demon. And the Lord rescued and gave that knowledge to Lord Brahma. So that happened in the beginning of the creation actually. Any other questions? We have questions.
Thank you for a wonderful discourse. Now, Prabhupada, this is also a known fact amongst Western thinkers that there is no happiness in this world.
Yes.
Existence is miserable. I think it's Ernest Becker who said, love is the romantic solution to the problem of death. Ultimately, you're going to die, so what's the whole point? So, as much as you can think before you die on the happiness index, is all that you learn, so why miss out on it? So, if you could perhaps give a point of distinction from how we, when we are listening, when we are thinking, yes, there is no happiness in this world practically, if you look at it deeply, how is this view different from the view proposed by the nihilists that yes, there is no happiness?
Yeah, very, very good point, because the material psychologists, those who study the science of happiness, have come to the conclusion that the happiness is temporary and it's not really proportionate to wealth. They have come to all these conclusions, and happiness is temporary and also it is deteriorating in the course of time. They have concluded all those kind of things, but they don't have any alternate process. Nor alternate knowledge. That's the difference between the devotees and non-devotees. That is one side of it. There is other side also. I will read Prabhupada's answer to this. Okay, this is from the Kutra Shisha verse. In the translation itself, Prahlad Maharaj actually gives the answer. The so-called philosophers, scientists and politicians know this very well. Even Prahlad Maharaj is telling, he's speaking 5,000 years, or not 5,000, many millions of years back, is telling The so-called philosophers, scientists and politicians know this very well, but nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. So they haven't come to the right conclusion because still they are chasing material happiness. Why can't they stop? Because one, they don't have the knowledge or practice, so their senses remain uncontrolled. Since their senses remain uncontrolled, they had a chase after that. So that's the answer to the question. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So if you study Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, you get a lot out of it. All these things are Prahlad Maharaj mentioned, you know, millions of years back. So there's no need of happiness studies, it's already there in Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Okay? Thank you. Grantrashim Bhagavatam ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Taigora Premande Hari Hari.